it's good to be here with you, and I really mean that. It's, man, I love being here with you guys. I love this fellowship. I'm so glad that God put this in my heart to come up to Winston-Salem 15 years ago and to help with some others start this, and really glad that you guys are here. I love this family. I was just thinking as we were singing there at the very end during worship, just that name of Jesus. How about we just say it together for a second? Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. You know, many people don't know that name. And we get to say the name. It says it's the name above every other name. Of course, you can say Yeshua. It's the same thing. You can say Jesus. God's okay with both. You know, my kids call me Dad. That's not my real name. I don't get upset about that because I know who they're talking about. You can say Yeshua, you can say Jesus, but there is something so powerful in saying his name, in speaking his name. And I'm so thankful that we have God, that we get to know him, that we get to be known by him, and all that he has ahead for us. It's a great day to be alive. There's so many things that God is doing, and I want to share just for a few minutes on different things. Firstly, of course, with a hurricane bearing down on our country right now, on Florida, having just hit the Keys, I think, this morning, and now going up the west coast of Florida. I'm very thankful that we haven't had a major hurricane in the last decade that's hit our country. And now we've had two back-to-back in a couple of weeks, which is major. I'm so thankful for not having these, but at the same time, here we are in the midst of this. And we were praying last week about Harvey, Hurricane Harvey, and all the people that have been displaced and their lives altered and changed. And we want to provide some help in that direction. The same with Irma as it's coming. You know, I get asked sometimes, you know, what is it about hurricanes? Is this from God? Is this from the devil? Is this, you know, what is this? And I don't necessarily know. We have scriptural precedent for storms coming from God. Remember Jonah? God sent that storm to get Jonah's attention, to get him to where he was supposed to be. We also see in Jeremiah 23 that the Lord talks about storms that come from him. And then there are storms that come from the enemy. That's very clear. You know, when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples and the storm came and they were scared to death, and Jesus looked at them and really acted as though they should have known that this was from the enemy and they should have taken authority over it. Right? And so they didn't do it. Jesus said, "Where's your faith? How long am I going to be with you guys? It's time to take authority over this thing." And then Jesus did. He rebuked the storm. He rebuked what was going on. That wind, it calmed down. And then there are, I think, storms that really are natural occurrences. Just as some earthquakes and many things that go on in our world that we're in, that's been shifting and changing and all this for a long, long time, I think they're just natural things. Now, I don't know where this fits in, to be honest. I don't have that insight. Here's what I do know, is that God loves people. He loves every single person. And I'm grateful for a few things in the midst of this. Thank you, Lord, for satellite images and technology that we know when storms are coming days in advance. Think of if you lived 150 years ago or 100 years ago or less than that. You have no warning. Next thing you know, here comes a storm. People can now know days in advance, get out of the way, move out of the way best they can. So I'm thankful for those things, but we can pray. And I'd like to, as we pray, I'd like to mention a couple of things. One is, I had felt that when Harvey had hit that we would provide some sort of help on the tail end after things calmed down a little bit, that there will be lots of needs down there. I was talking with someone today about some of those needs that are there right now and that will continue to surface, and we want to address those. I think the same will happen here after this one comes through. There will be some needs in addition to resources and money where we can send some folks down there. And if it's on your heart, I've had several people talk to me already that it's on their heart to go and help physically. I'd like to, if you could sign, there's a sheet in our welcome center. If you could write your name with contact information for you. We're just trying to gather. We don't have a plan necessarily yet, but we're trying to gather those who have a heart and an interest to go and provide some boots on the ground, some hands, to help people who are suffering through either of these storms, and we'll ask the Lord and start forming some sort of plan. But if you could get your name down, that way we could send updates to you, and we'll talk about this more too. Let's pray against this thing, if that's okay. You guys okay with that? Let's pray against this. Lord, we just right now just thank you for our nation. We thank you, God, that you are God, as it says in the Psalms, and you do whatever you please. You are God. And Lord, I want to thank you also that you have given us power and authority over the enemy and over the plans of the enemy and over death as he releases it, as he is the prince of the power of the air, and he likes to release death. And so, Lord, you've given us authority. And as your disciples, those who follow you, those who love you, God, we stand in our authority right now. We just pray for our friends, not only through the islands of Cuba and Dominican Republic and Haiti and Puerto Rico and all the other islands that have been affected, but also the Keys and Florida, Alabama, Georgia, all those where this hurricane is headed. We ask for your help. We ask for your safety. We ask for your protection. We're asking right now as a group together, if one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight, we as hundreds here together are asking you, Lord, for your help to spare lives, that you would take the death out of this storm in Jesus' name. Rebuke the power. We just rebuke the power of the enemy. We break the power of the enemy in any and every way where he is intended for evil. We stand up as light and say no to the enemy's plan for evil. And say, we rebuke you. And Lord, I ask for your help, and I ask for your peace, and I ask for your power. I ask for your love to abound. I ask for people to connect with you. Lord, I ask also, even in the midst of this, as you are so good at turning what the enemy is intended for evil into good, that you would turn hearts of people all along this area to you, Lord. People who have strayed from you, people who have left you, people who don't know you, I ask that your gospel and your words and your life and your love would reach their hearts. I ask for people to repent. Lord, may repentance come to our nation and to the state of Florida. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there would be people's hearts that would turn to you, that people would feel the love from others as well and be warmed in their heart and turn to you and live. Lord, we need you desperately. We need you desperately, and I'm asking for your help, for our nation, for those in Florida and the islands. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection. Watch over, protect. Thank you for your patience with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've got my oldest son is down there still, and I know we are, probably all of us know people in Florida. I'm guessing that we all do, if not more than one or dozens of people in Florida. And so let's continue to pray for them and be ready to give, to go, to help, whatever is needed. And, you know, the Lord gives you, if he gives you dreams in the night, if he gives you just insight in how to pray, just encourage you to just pray those prayers with authority, with love, with compassion. We'll see what God does here. He's up to a lot. God is up to a lot of things right now, of great things. He is looking to help people. He's looking to continue to release what he's given to us, that we would be made whole, that we would participate in the plan that he has for this earth. You and I are smack dab in the middle of what could be the last generation, could be the last age before the next age that he has. As we come toward the end of so many things, there's so many things going on, I can't help but feel that you and I are poised and perched right in the middle of what God is doing and what he wants to do through us and with us. Boy, we're here to be a voice. I've been reading the book of Acts over the last couple of weeks. It's not what I'm going to talk about today necessarily, but man, if you haven't read the book of Acts lately, and I know the men's Bible study is going through it right now too, I just encourage you, jump into the book of Acts. You want to see God using people who aren't just apostles to do some amazing things and to have the power of God and the peace of God in the middle of every storm. We're here to be those people. We're here to be peacemakers and those who are at rest in our soul in the midst of crisis, and to stand up and be strong. The world needs you and I to be that strength in the midst of everything. There'll be times, as Jesus said, where the world will be so afraid, they're going to be crying for the rocks to fall on them. Just take me out. And we're supposed to have that opposite spirit, that spirit of peace in the midst of it. where we can rebuke storms and we say, I was born for this moment. I was born for these times. And Lord, put that in us. Give us that heart. All right. I want to veer for one Sunday here off what the series we started in eternity, which we talked about last week. We'll continue that, Lord willing, next week. But this is a special week for us. It happens three times a year for our church, where we launch what we call GTs, our get-togethers, which are small group community based ministry that happens through this fellowship that brings so much life. There's so many different opportunities for people to get involved, and that starts this week. And so as a result of that, I want to talk a little bit about community, and I want to talk a little bit about the way God has designed some things as a reminder for us, though I'm sure that most of us know much of this, as God has taken a lot of time through his word to talk about love and community and fellowship with each other. I've heard some people say this, that church would be a great place to be if there were no people there, which does usually cause a chuckle. And you understand why people would say, some people would say that, because with people come problems, right? With people come difficulties. With people come misunderstandings. With people come all kind of likes and dislikes and preferences and all those things. And it can seem easier to just live separate. Just live separate without having to deal with people. But the reality is that people are the greatest treasure of God that he has on the planet. It's you and I. People are what God died for. People are what he made. People are what he came for and that he fills. He doesn't, you know, fill a box anymore or a tree or anything like that. He fills a person. He lives within. He calls you and I his home address. He lives within us. We are that prized and special. And so if we can see with his eyes, think about the difficulty he's had with people, with us, with me. Yet, we are his prizes. We are his prizes. We are his treasures. We're the ones that he is so patient with. And over and over and over again, the moment, think about this, we can be as far from him, we can misuse his name and his skills and talents he's given to us and everything, and turn to him, and it's like forgiven, washed clean, welcomed back in, brand new. Just like the prodigal son, we get that. God is just, he's so amazing. And then he's done this thing where he has called us, his treasures, to be together, to rub elbows, to work together, to love one another, to be patient with each other as he is with us, to love each other like he loves us. We're to love each other. He's called us to this. There's no way that we can really avoid this and do what we're supposed to do on this planet and have peace and joy and gain what we're supposed to gain, because in the midst of all this, we get things beyond what we give. We receive things from what we see in other people, and the rough edges on us get ironed out and sanded off. You know, it's actually those people who isolate themselves from others. Maybe it's due to personality type or due to a wound or due to just not liking having to deal with all kind of issues that people have. And they separate themselves and they isolate themselves. And you find that these people honestly become the weirdest people. And weird in a bad way, not a good way. They can get really odd, because when you're left to your own thoughts, you're gonna get weird. We need each other. We need each other to hear that, you know what, the way I'm thinking isn't necessarily accurate. I need that removed, because we can form opinions. Wow, can we form opinions? Man, can we form offenses and harbor bitterness and all those things. And that's oftentimes what happens when people disassociate themselves from others, live this isolated life, kind of, and they may feel like it's a monastic type of living. That for a long period of time is absolutely unhealthy in every way. We are called to be light that is in the middle of darkness and with other light and with other people. not secluded to ourselves. You know, there are times in the scriptures, whether it's 40-day fast or maybe Paul for 14 years, where he's changing from being a Pharisee to a follower of Jesus, where he needed some time with Jesus, just him. There are times for those seasons in our lives, but that can't and shouldn't be the pattern of our life where we just live isolated. We're called to be together and to work out things and to practice forgiveness. We're called to be those with elephant skin and tender hearts. If you want to know what part of your calling, it's that one right there. To have elephant skin, thick, people say stuff, it just bounces off of you. People say things, and we, instead of judging, oh, they said that because they don't like, no, oh, maybe they meant something else. Just bounces off, and our hearts are tender. We can continue to give and love and pour out regardless of how we're treated in return. I tell you what, that is called God-likeness, Christ-likeness. And the only way we get like Christ is to go through those things, to deal with things where we're mistreated and we respond the way that he does. All of a sudden, we become more like him. If you're all by yourself, that never happens. If you're stuck with just your own thoughts, you just start thinking these weird things. I've met some of those people. Have you met some of those people? They just isolate themselves and they turn into like a Howard Hughes type of person. Their fingernails start growing. No, not everybody does that, but Howard Hughes was bizarre. Why? One of the reasons was he isolated himself from other people. We're not called to do that. We're called to live life together. And when you see the way that God has done this from the beginning, the Father comes and he creates a man, which was man and woman together at that time, called Adam. And then he realized this isn't good that you're alone. So he creates woman. So he brings these two together. From the beginning, he's bringing people together to work things out in relationship. And then you see when Jesus comes on the earth and he's born, what does he do? He forms this community of 12 other guys. They spend 3 years together, 3.5 years together. They're sleeping in the same rooms. They're eating at the same tables. They're walking around, they're ministering. And then there are a lot of women following and helping and serving and ministering. And then you've got children that he's saying, oh, don't keep them away. Let them come right here. You've got this community. Jesus is not isolating himself other than, according to Luke 5:16, he often slips away for moments with his Father to get built back up, to have time with his Father, to get recharged, to get full and connected and realigned with heaven, and then back with the people, back with community, back with dealing with all of the crazy stuff. You know the crazy stuff that was in Jesus' community? Like, how about this one? His disciples said, Jesus, they're not following us the way that we are following. Can we ask for fire to come down from heaven and burn those guys up? That was an actual request from the community of believers that Jesus was with to kill people. Jesus had to rebuke him, but I'm telling you what, weird things come out around other people. There are anger and murder that comes out of our heart, and you know what? Instead of being offended, we should go, you know what? That's ugly, that's bad, but you know what? I love you, and we're gonna get through this, and you know what? That's not a good thing. You need to get rid of those thoughts of killing other people. And then we keep moving, but we don't throw them away. God doesn't throw people away, and we're not to throw others away, right? But that was the community that Jesus was in. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, you see the community continues. It's like this theme with the Godhead. Wherever they are present, relationships form and communities thrive. And when the Holy Spirit comes, it's like community everywhere. People start living life together, eating meals together on a larger scale, giving to one another, serving one another in greater fashion. The widows are now getting help. And it's like community just grows. See, the more that God is a part of something, the more there is community and serving and loving of one another and exchanging with one another. It's amazing. When he's in the midst, that's one of the things you can tell. That's a sign of God. In fact, Jesus said, which I was going to share later, one of his last prayer, not one of his last prayers, the last prayer that we know of, in John 17, he said this, He said, may they be one like we're one. May they be one. May they be united. May there be a unity in those followers of mine that I'm leaving. May they be united like we're united, Lord. And that prayer is going to be answered and is being answered every time that we love each other and serve one another and participate in one another's lives and don't run away and isolate ourselves and get offended. As we do that, it's like the prayer of Jesus is being answered. And unity, there's power in unity. The enemy is the exact opposite. Our enemy, your enemy, the prince of the power of the air, is all about dividing, killing, stealing, destroying, and accusing. That's what he does. That's his job description. He wants to divide us, get us to hate one another. He wants marriages split. He wants relationships split, churches split. Fellowship, any type of community, he wants it broken up because, man, you get a bunch of people like we were just praying for people in Florida today. There's power in our prayer. There's power in our unity. I believe that part of what Jesus is waiting for in his return, or the Father's waiting for to send his son to come back, is that we would be united here as his followers doing his works so that he can come and rule and reign with us and us with him to do more works. But he's looking for us to not provide any excuse for offense that we would live by and therefore isolate myself. Though it's easier for me to move to a cabin where I can just watch ESPN as much as I want to and do my own thing and drink as much coffee by myself where no one else is bothering me and listen to the breeze in the trees and write as much as I want to. And all that sounds wonderful. And you know what? There are seasons of that that I would really like and that would probably be healthy. But to live that way means I take myself out of the game and you take yourself out of the game if we live in that way, in that idealistic type of way, then we lose our effect in actually helping shape and change and minister to other people. I've got to stay in the game. Though, honestly, my personality type, you may or may not know, if you know me very well, you'll know this, that I'm more of an introvert. If I was not the pastor, I would not be on the front row, I'd be in the back row. I tend to be more to myself. I have to force myself to be more around other people. And that's just the way it is. And I love it sometimes, and then other times I would rather just be me and myself and I. But I know that if I live that type of a lifestyle, I take myself out of the purposes of God for other people, for what God has for me, and we're called to be together. We're called to live together, helping one another. How about this one? Galatians 5:14 says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that amazing? The entire law is fulfilled in one statement, loving one another as much as I love myself. So God knows us individually. We have relationship with individually, but he sees us as one body. Do you realize that? In fact, the church of Jesus Christ, we see from the book of Revelation that he sees churches in this sense. It's the church of the city of Winston-Salem. If you read Revelation, it's the church of Laodicea, the church of Sardis, the church of Ephesus. It's the body of Christ in that city. So there's not necessarily a wake church. We are one body within the church of Winston-Salem, the church of Jesus Christ in Winston-Salem. And though he sees me individually, he sees me as and you as part of his worldwide global body. That's how he sees us. Romans 12:5 says, so we who are many are one body in Christ, yet individually members of one another. And we cannot experience all that God has for us alone. I experience what God has for me as I'm with you. You experience what God has for you as you're with me. There's this interchange, the way that God has made it. Pretty amazing. I was thinking of just a handful of couples, and I could say, I could name a lot. We could spend a lot of time doing this, but things I've learned, I think, from David and Lauren right over there. They introduced me to pho. You ever heard of pho? It's Vietnamese noodle soup that's tasty, and I never would have tried that. Doesn't sound good to me. But I tried it, and now it's like I want it every week. I learned that from them, as well as what I've learned from them in their leadership and the way that they treat people and the way they're with people. I've learned so much from being around and rubbing shoulders now for almost 10 years with David, as we were learning from each other. And my edges are being shaven off, and there are things that I'm just learning and growing. I have neighbors, Josh and Tabitha, I don't know if they're here, but our next door neighbors. We live life in many ways with them. One thing, we're next door neighbors, but we've been friends for a long time. And wow, what I've learned in the way they are with their kids, the way they play with their children, the way that family is a huge priority for them. And their love, not only for their family, but for God. I learn and I grow when I'm around Lamar and Geneva. I have learned about so many values that I didn't have just in myself, related to when you have meetings, having nice food and things around there, and setting an atmosphere. And the going for large, which is inside of me, yet they pull that out of me when I'm around them. I was thinking of Tim and Beth. I learned to eat spaghetti without utensils at their house. I've never done before. I bet you haven't either. And they are two of the most generous people I've ever met in my life. Their generosity provokes me. The way that they prefer others in the middle of the night and in so many different ways, I'm provoked being around them. As we've rubbed shoulders, I've learned a lot. There's no way that I can be changed in the image of God without being around you. And vice versa. We need each other. That isolated thing, though it's easier in some ways, lacks power to change us and to cause the beauty of community and the beauty of relationship and the beauty of Jesus's request that they'd be united. It diminishes that when I just want to live on my own and do my own thing. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's a strong word, devoted. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren and sistren. I'll add that. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. I would put it in my translation. Don't use your freedom to spend all your freedom on yourself. Right? But through love, serve one another. Through love, because I love people, and his love has been implanted into me. How can I use this love that's implanted into me to serve one another, to serve you? How can I help you get to where you need to go? Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. That is a theme over and over and over. Whoever has a complaint against anyone. You ever had a complaint against anyone? Of course you have. We all have. Whoever has one, just as the Lord forgave you, you should forgive them. But encourage one another, Hebrews 3:13, day after day, every single day, encourage one another. That's part of your job description, and part of your duty, in a good sense, today, is to find someone to encourage. It says encourage someone day after day, as long as it's still called today. It still is. So this one, the shelf life is not finished on that one. So that none of you, this is interesting, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you realize that when you encourage someone else, it frees your own heart from falling and being deceived by sin? How does that work? I have no earthly idea, but that's what it says. It's a kingdom thing. It's something that God has established. When I get in there and I encourage someone, which is getting out of myself into someone else's world, and I encourage them, I won't be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. There's like a lower level of temptation that I'll be dealing with. It's powerful. And then 1 John 4 says this, Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another, he abides in us, and there's a perfection going on inside of us by loving other people. When I love another person, something is going on the inside of me that's not going to happen any other way. I can't separate myself from the world and get holy that way. It's not how it works. As I love other people and encourage other people, I start getting free from sin. Staying free from sin. All of a sudden, his love is starting to get perfected in me. And yes, humans are squirrely creatures. And yes, there's going to be lots of opportunity for offense. And yes, you won't be appreciated fully. Absolutely. You are never going to be appreciated fully. Just check that off before you start. I'm going to give and I won't be appreciated for it. Yes. People won't, it's like your children. Do you think your kids, when they are from 0 to 18, are fully appreciative of all you do for them? Of course not. They're incapable of having that. It would be ridiculous for me to expect that, actually. And if I spend time getting frustrated with their lack of appreciation for all that I'm doing and providing and all that, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a bad day. But if I just go, you know what, my job, I get to be a parent. I get to be like God in that he gives and gives, and few on the planet appreciate him for all that he does, for the air, for the fresh water, for all that he, for salvation, for things that are done all the time. And I get to be like this a little bit today in being a parent. I get to give. And if I find myself frustrated because they're not appreciating, then you know what? There's something wrong in me. I need to make it. I'm going to give that to you, Lord. I'm going to give. It's like, nope, that's a rabbit trail. Sorry, thinking out loud there. I'm going to finish this here. John, I've already said that too. Lord help. Lastly, you know, some of the best things happen when there's hardly anyone around, but it's a small amount of people. Small groups are like that. In fact, we find probably the best message that's ever been preached on the planet in thousands of years happened with three people. Jesus and two guys walking on the road to Emmaus. Three people. Jesus saves this message. It says that he shared all through the scriptures the story of the Son of God and the plan of God to two people. There's no media there. There's no Facebook Live. There's nothing. It's just Jesus and two guys. You find that when Peter was thrown in prison, a group of people started praying for him. They went to a house, they started praying. The Lord gets him out of prison. He comes, or out of jail, he comes, he knocks on the door, they don't answer the door. They run back and said, he's right here. We were praying for him, and now he's escaped, he's out. And they said, now you're crazy. That's just his angel. They weren't even going to get up and see an angel. Which I think for many small groups, that would have been a highlight, right, of the day. To let's go look at Peter's angel, at least, even if it's not him. They didn't even get up for that. They said, you're crazy. He keeps knocking. He's in the cold. Angel, obviously, angelic intervention and participation in a small group might have been so common at that point that they weren't even going to get up and look at this one outside. That seems crazy. Cornelius, he's there praying, an angel shows up in his small group and starts communicating with him, which got Peter there a little bit later. You have no idea what's going to happen in a small amount of people. It's not just the large, it's the small too. It's both. There's a beauty and a wonder about both things the large, the celebration. I love our celebrations like this today. But then there's something so powerful about the smaller ones when we're together as well. I have a friend, I'd call him a friend, though I don't talk to him much anymore. His name is John Dawson. If you ever heard of John Dawson, he's the president of YWAM for years. He may still be. I've lost touch with him. But the first time I met him, I won't forget this. I picked him up at the airport. He was speaking at a conference, and I was there. I picked him up at the airport. He's in the car. And typically when I would pick up guest speakers at that point in my life, they weren't interested in my life. I'll just put it that way. And I take him, I drop him off, and we go from there. But this guy was different. I'm in the car, and he turns to me, and he says, "What's your name?" I said, "My name's Matt." He said, "Matt, what's your story?" I was like, "You're a big dog, and you're asking me my story." And something came, so I gave him a short version of who I am, but something endeared me to him and felt a love from him. And a bit of a friendship ensued from there, but it stayed with me. And I try to do that often with people that I will meet, particularly that are out there in the world, even if it's just, just out and about. You can ask someone, "Hey, what's your story? Tell me your story." There's something that happens when people get to share about their experience in life and where they are and how they got from where they were to where they are that opens them up. There's something, we all have this desire to share who we are. And you know what? The best place for that really is in a smaller setting. And it's difficult to be known in a larger setting. The smaller settings are important. So I want to do something here, and we're going to transition here. But if you wouldn't mind standing up with me, and if you could, as like a family and one other family, or an individual and one other individual, if you could just kind of pair up, family to family or individual to individual, just turn around, don't move far. We're going to do this quickly. And don't say anything yet. Here's what I'd like you to do, okay? Could one person from one of the representative groups just ask one person in the other group to say, "What's your story?" And then share for a minute or less, encapsulate your life's journey, where you're from, when you met the Lord, how you got here. Just do it shortly, and then switch roles. And then after that, let's encourage each other for just a minute. Let's pray for each other. And we're going to do what's basically a small group in 5 minutes. So ask the other person a story, and not everybody's going to get to share, but one representative of from each group. And I'll tell you when to switch, okay? Ready? Go. Okay. Thanks, you guys, for participating in that. That's terrific. And you may be seated. We have one more thing to do here. And I just want to, I love this fellowship. Thanks for ministering to each other. And just want to say, you know, one of the strengths of this church really has been these get-togethers, these small groups that David initiated a couple of years ago, and I'm just so grateful. And just want to highly encourage you to be a part of one if you're not, or to find that fellowship where you're rubbing elbows and having opportunity to be offended. You need that. We need that so that we can forgive and become more like Christ, right? And get to give and be known and share. And so David's going to share about some opportunities for that, but I just am so thankful. This is really something that David has initiated, and I'm so grateful that he's done this. And for all of our GT group leaders, I'm just really thankful. So let's give a clap for David and all that he's done for this. Thank you.
So today is our get-together launch. Today is the day where we start up a brand new trimester of get-togethers. And we really do intentionally have small groups at this church in trimesters because you can withstand anyone for about 3 months. You know, it's sometimes the reason people avoid getting in small groups, like, I just don't want to get in an awkward group and be there for eternity. And we understand that. So we say, okay, we're going to start groups. They go about 3 months, and then we have a 1 month break, and we start a brand new trimester. So we are starting the second trimester today. It's the launch. We have about 12 groups available. Some of those are already at capacity as people have been just carried over from the last one. A lot of people desire just to stay and continue into the next trimester. But we have a video that we're about to show of all the new groups that are going to be available for this trimester. And it's really amazing. I thought Matt just did the most amazing job just sharing a heart for why it's important to be a part of a small community. And my wife and I were talking this week about the same thing, how important it is to be around other people that share a different view of life, that have different life experiences than you do, that are just, you know, really see the world through different lenses. That is incredibly important. And one of the things we tend to do is we tend to find people that are like us and then we hang out with them. But when we do that, we actually rob ourselves of experiencing the different sides of the gem that God is. God's like a many-faceted diamond. And when we're only just surrounding ourselves with people like us, we miss out on seeing God in all the different ways that he is. And secondly, there's something called empathy. My wife was talking about this past week. There's something called empathy. There's a suffering with, or there's a feeling of soft heart towards someone that oftentimes we only get from being in proximity with people. So being in proximity causes us to be empathetic. I guess an example would that be, I never really, my heart for the Syrian crisis that is happening in Syria, the refugee crisis, my heart wasn't really softened until I had dinner time after time with this family, and my heart just softened. I saw a picture of a friend of mine on the mission field the other day, sitting around all these women in Chile that had absolutely nothing, and she was turned away. She couldn't even look at them in the face, tears just streaming down her face, because proximity caused empathy. It's easy for us to just even hear today about the tragedies in Florida that are happening, but if we were there, we would have empathy. And so, you know, the reason I'm saying this is sometimes in groups we tend to be around people that maybe are differently socially than us, like a social status or economically. Like there's oftentimes, has anybody here ever just kind of, just be honest, maybe been a little bit prideful, a little bit arrogant about the way we do life? You know, like, well, my kids are perfect. My kids, you know, they don't cry, they don't backtalk, but we sometimes can get impatient towards other people. But when you're around them on a day-to-day basis and see their struggle, all of a sudden God starts to kind of rub off your pride a little bit, break those edges off. Or maybe financially, you're like, well, why can't this person just get their finances together? Like, and we can sometimes take pride in ourselves, like we just tied up our bootstraps and did it all ourselves, and that's why we're financially stable. But then when we meet people that are a different level, it causes us to soften and have empathy. Likewise, we learn from those people as we also encourage them. So I encourage you, as you look for a group today to get plugged into, don't just try to find your buddies. Don't just try to find people that are like you. Really look to see God in a new way by surrounding yourself with people that are brand new. A brand new set of folks for you. So this video, if you guys have that ready, these are the get-togethers that we have available for this trimester. Enjoy. This is about 5 to 7 minutes, I think.
Hi, my name's Janelle Siebson, and I'm starting a women's GT group on Mondays from 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening at my home in Clemens. We're going to be reading and discussing the book, Becoming Myself by Stacy Eldridge. We'll be using the companion study guide, and I'm hoping that this will help us to discover more of who God's created us to be and the things that have held us back from offering and becoming all of God's design for us. I thought this would be a great companion to the series of sermons we heard on the journey to freedom this summer. And the cost for the two books is $15. I'll be collecting that the first meeting. When you sign up for this group, if you're interested, if you own both of these books, please let me know. Or if you're in need of the study guide, let that be known as well, so that I am prepared for the books for you. Hope to see you there.
Good day, everyone. My name is Felasha Day Scott, and I'd like to invite you to my GT group, Awaken, Activate, Shine. We meet right here at Awake Church in the Well every second and third Thursdays of the month. Awaken has to do with you awakening to every single part of who God created you to be, your purpose, your giftings, your talents, your personality, everything that makes you you. Activate has to do with you activating specifically those different parts of who you are freely. Your work at your workplace, at your school, at your home, everywhere you are, and enjoying that. Shining has to do with you just freely being you, allowing God to breathe through you effortlessly. I invite you again, right here to Awake Church, every second and third Thursdays of the month, right here in the Well. I look forward to seeing you. Be blessed.
Hi, my name is Chuck Harris, and I'm with my wife, Kelly. We have a small group that meets in Winston-Salem on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We also plan to end promptly at 8 p.m.
The focus of our group will be to pray for our city. We will be watching videos from Bethel Church that focus on empowering us and inspiring us on how to carry the message of hope that's within us and touch those around us.
We hope you'll join us. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Well, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are the Viators, and we're hosting a get-together group with the Wake Church at our house in North Winston near Wake Forest.
Thursday nights from 6 to 8 p.m.
That is right. And we are focusing on just building community and relationships and just watching how God interacts with us and you in everyday lives. We are used by God every single day, all the time, and we just like to celebrate that activity. So we, children are welcome, yours, anyone's kids, it doesn't matter. We have things for kids, we have childcare provided. It is open grill style, so bring any sort of food and we'll cook it. We're looking forward to sharing time together this trimester, Thursdays at 6 here in Winston.
Hi, I'm Eddie Edwards.
And I'm Debbie, and we have our group in our home on Tuesday nights at 6:30 in Clemens.
I'd like to give you a little heads up about what we're about. In the early 1900s, under the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, about 6,000 home groups were started in China. Witness Lee's ministry lasted for over 70 years, and he finished it with a 21-year exposition of the Bible that he called a life study. We're going to be listening to messages from that life study and with cake and coffee discussing some of the weightier points.
So that's Tuesdays at 6:30 in Clemens. Hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm PJ Lancaster. I lead the Bible Art Journaling GT. We meet at my house in Pofftown on Saturdays from 10 to 12 in the morning. And we get together, we pray, we read the Word, and we illustrate what we get out of the Word in our journals or in our Bibles. I hope you can join us.
Hi, my name is Catherine, and I am the GT leader of the Ladies Tea Group, and we meet in my home at Spring Farm Court in Louisville every other Wednesday at noon, and we have a full lunch and tea, and we just enjoy each other's company, and we find out who God created us to be, and it's really a lot of fun, and we have speakers come in and all kinds of things that just God does with the women. And we don't have childcare, but it really is a wonderful time, and I would love to see you there.
Hi, we're Rick and Julie Carter. Our group is called The Gathering, and we meet on Sunday nights between the hours of 6 and 8 p.m. right here at the church.
We meet during youth, and childcare is available. And our group is about discovering God together over a shared meal, watching an inspiring video, and growing in community together as we learn just to love each other and encourage each other in our lives.
Now, if you have a teen that's attending Sunday Night Youth, that's a great time for you parents. You can drop your teen off and then just join and be a part of our group. And then when they're done, you can go on home. If you don't have a team, that's fine too. We would just love to have you be a part of our group.
Hi, I'm Catherine.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And we are co-leading the Motherhood Get Together group at church.
It'll be here at Awake from 10 a.m. until 11:30 on Friday mornings.
And we really just want to create a supportive environment for other mothers at Awake to get together and journey through this experience together.
Yeah, we would love any moms or expecting moms to come on Fridays and join us. We will have childcare provided for preschool age children, and we'll have a designated area for older children if you have those with you as well. So come join us.
Yeah, can't wait to see you.
All righty, give it up for those leaders. So these guys are making their way out the doors to man their tables for their get-together group. A little direction for you guys, if you're ready to get involved in a group, get signed up. When you walk through these double doors, you're going to see a bunch of different groups available, different leaders at the tables. You can go and ask questions. They can just answer any little details that you have, any questions, and get signed in for a group. Lives are getting changed at get-togethers, guys. I hope that you'll join one. Bless you guys. Have an amazing day.